Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Do you have a house full of kids trying to figure out technology? Maybe you're trying to figure out technology. Well, we have the man for you. Doug Swinhart joins us with Tech Talk, and Doug's on the air. Typically at this time, sports schedules permitting, he's been joining us for years. If you're having problems with your computer, hardware, software, whatever, if you're like Shaletta and her kids are trying to do their schoolwork from home and having all sorts of problems, this show is for you. Doug, good to visit with you again.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here. Steve, I didn't get a call from Shaletta this week. She should have called.
Yeah. She doesn't want you on the phone, though. She may need you to stop by the house and get all this sorted out. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. But, Doug, always a lot going on when it comes to computers. The one thing I do want to bring up, though, is it seems to me the printer manufacturers have things figured out. Our network was down at work because we're in the middle of a move. So I needed to bring in my old hotspot, and I had a printer. It happened to be a newer Brother brand printer. And I brought in my hotspot, started with the printer, got that trained up to the hotspot, had my Chromebook. I was rolling. I was able to print. I was able to do everything I needed to do. And I've had this hotspot from AT&T for a number of years now. I rarely use it. Worked like a champ. And the printer, easy peasy to get everything synced up just like that.
Yeah. Sounds like you had about a 10-minute task, if that.
Oh, yeah. Doug, it was 5 minutes. Once I got the computer set and plugged in, knew I had power, turned it on, It was easy peasy. And like I say, I've had printers for a fair amount of time, but this is a newer Brother brand printer. And
nice.
I was really impressed. It was easy.
Brother line is a tremendous line. And plug and play has come so far over the past 20 years. It's just incredible. And the only time it really is an issue, I have one customer who's got a brand new computer from Amazon, gorgeous little machine. But the monitor that his brother had him get was way, way advanced 12 years ago. And it's got built-in sound. And the computer just doesn't quite understand how that sound's supposed to work. But I don't think the sound is going through the HDMI cable the way it's supposed to. So the only time we're having trouble with plug and play today is if there's this huge span of manufacturing date. If they're within 5 to 6 years, it's usually plug it in and you're rolling.
Yeah, I was very impressed. So if I can figure it out that quick, I was really impressed because it has been a while since I've tried to network. Now, the HP I have, the laser printer that I have at home in my office, that's a little bit older, and it was a little bit more work. This thing is brand new, 2021, early 2021. And it was a snap. So good news. They've really got that part of it figured out. And by the way, you're welcome to visit with Doug via text. Here's our number, and I want you to keep this in mind. It's a brand new number to text the program. 651-461-9226. 9226. And we invite you to send your text in early so we make sure we get it on the air today. 651-461-9226. And we got one actually before we went on the air, so I'm going to share that one right now, Doug. How difficult is it to change a laptop hard drive, you know, the old spinning style, to an SSD, and how do you move the data from the old drive to the new drive?
Oh, today this is just a piece of cake. Nearly every solid-state drive company today is supplying a clone or mirroring software. You would need a small device like an external, which you're probably going to want for your spinner drive anyway. Pick one of them up for $9. Put your new drive in that external case. Plug it into your computer. Download the mirror software. It's about 5 steps. Walk away for an hour or two, depending on the speed of your machine. Come back and it's done. Shut it off. Swap out the drives and fire it up. It's that simple.
Nice.
Yeah, it's way good. Way, way good.
Now, I know you've talked in the past, though, that you've got to be very careful when you take apart the computer, make sure it's not plugged in, all those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. But you can over-tighten those screws, so be very, very careful with the screws, et cetera.
Oh, you know, the manufacturing, most of it's robotics, and I've even gotten to the point where I lay the screws out in the exact same, so I can put them back in the exact same hole. I think some of these robotics, they'll go a little bit too tight, or they'll twist them a little bit fast, and throws off the threads just a little bit. But if you put it back in the same with the hole that the screws came out of, you're good to go. I couldn't agree more with the over-tightening. Everything with laptops, especially laptops, just a little bit of snug pressure fingertips, and you should be good to go. It's not going to come apart. It's not like the spinners where there's actually vibration. There's no vibration in a solid state. And no matter what you're repairing on a computer, gentle, gentle, gentle. Never over-tighten anything. So just keep in mind when they heat up, they kind of turn in a little bit more as the heat builds. So take it easy, especially Macs. Macs are really got to have like a soft touch working on a Mac.
Yeah.
If you put those cases on the MacBook Pro, you tighten those screws just a little bit too tight. The first time it starts to heat up, they pop right through the bottom. And there's really no fixing that to bring back the cosmetics. And yeah, I understand it's on the bottom of the computer, but that's also going to let in dirt. And better just to nice and easy, just bring it to that point of snug and check it an hour or so later. You'll see that they're actually tightening up that stainless steel screw on the going into an aluminum frame. But couldn't be, that was excellent advice on your part. Outstanding.
Yeah, and Doug, one of the things you brought up over the years, and it is so true, nothing will improve the performance of your computer than making the move to a solid-state drive. But is there a limit on how far back you can go if you have an older machine? How do you determine when the machine's too old, potentially, for that solid-state drive?
There's actually two types of hard drive interfaces. There's IDE, and then there's SATA. If you're in a SATA machine, which I think you got to go way, way back to get into an IDE drive. And even some of those you can put in an adapter. But keep in mind that these motherboards also have advanced through the years. And you can have the fastest hard drive on the planet, but if the bus isn't wide enough on the motherboard to take that transfer speed, it really doesn't do you much good. But I think that if you got a computer that's 10, 12 years old, that baby's going to take that solid state drive and just, it will be minimum 4 times the overall performance.
Wow.
Yeah, it's people get all screwed up about this megahertz speed and their processor speed and RAM speed. But all the while personal computers have been here, the bottleneck has always been the hard drive, always. And even if your computer will not allow that hard drive to perform at its fullest if it's got a smaller bus speed, it doesn't matter. You're still going to get, well, I put one in the other day, and this particular machine I think is like 7 years old. And instead of getting the 6 megabits per second, you got 1.9. But a normal hard drive is somewhere around 100 that it performs at 100 megabits. The 2.5-inch drive is about 500 to 550 megabits per second. And these new NVMe drives, they can go as high as 3.2 gigabytes of data per second.
Oh, wow.
But you got to have the right motherboard. I put in an NVMe in this drive, and I'm getting 1.8 gigabytes per second. That's phenomenal on a desktop that's running an AMD chip. And that computer has two drives, a 2.5-inch drive and an NVMe. Use the 2.5 to boot, push everything over to the NVMe. It just screams. Just absolutely wonderful performance. Right. And the faster they go, the more we like it. Not just for speed, but they're actually more stable. A computer runs better when it runs fast.
Quick break. We'll have more with Doug. It is Tech Talk. He's on the air with us for the entire hour. Here is the number if you want to send a text, 651-461-9226. We'll get the latest on Windows Defender. Is it enough for your Windows 10 machine? We'll get into all of that coming up here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Windows Defender. Is it enough if you have a Windows 10 machine? Doug Swinhart's going to answer that here on Tech Talk. Doug, what about Windows Defender? Once upon a time, it was the real deal. Is it enough here in September of 2021?
Yeah, you know, I'm really starting to question Windows Defender a little bit. It just seems to be a little bit too invasive, and it's continuously pushing you to automatically accept a passport account with Microsoft, which really opens up the doors to anybody that wants to take your information and swap it and sell it and do whatever they do to make their fractions of a penny. But when you got billions of people on the internet, those fractions add up big. I'm going to say that if you want an absolute top shelf, I would go with ESET, ESET.com. And if there's any question at all, Malwarebytes is still and probably always will be one of my favorites. And the biggest reason for my bias towards Malwarebytes is the level of support is second to none. And they're all right here in the States. Now, ESET does a great job on support too. But even ESET, as great a product as it is, I think support for Malwarebytes actually takes the whole thing to a level. Really depends on what kind of user you are. If you're wrapped up with a company that is got you on Windows 365 and you're doing things on Azure on the cloud, I think Windows Defender will be okay because you pretty much are governing a lot of the privacy and the telemetry and that kind of thing is being governed by your system administrator at the server level. And there's all kinds of new compliances coming down the road, especially DoD compliances, that they are also saying, well, Windows Defender's okay, you can have it, but we recommend that you get something in addition. If you install an antivirus on your computer and Windows Defender kind of lays in the background, and if anything happens to that primary malware antivirus program, Defender jumps right up and takes its place. Just instant, nanoseconds. So it's good for what it is, but I think a company that focuses completely on security, you'll get a better product. I believe that. So that's that would be my recommendation.
Yeah, and Doug, when we talk about security, that's one thing for Windows 10 machine. But what about to clean it up? And this comes up frequently on the program, and I'm going to just kind of blend all of the texts we get on what you recommend to keep your system clean and running efficiently. What should you be using?
Well, you know that on every Windows 10 machine that comes into my place, one of the first things I do is I install Pervasor, P-R-I-V-A-Z as in zebra, ER.com. This program, I'm telling you, each time I see an update, it just gets better and better and better. This thing's just a winner. And it's still in the development stage, so you can own it for free. But he does ask that if you're a donor, and I think donors actually get precedence when it updates, it's and if you donate what you want, $10, $5, $20, I always suggest that people get on their computer, play with it, get to know it a little bit. And if they feel it's worth the money like I do, just make a donation that's affordable. That's the big thing. This thing does a tremendous job. And it's got a one-click feature. Once you run it after the first time, the main menu says one click. You click that baby, and then you can actually click another little box that says clean machine and shut down when you're done. So you could, at the end of the day, put that baby up and could run for an hour, hour and a half, cleaning all the free space off your drive and whatnot. But when it gets done, shuts itself off. Next morning, you'll come into a fresh Windows machine. I really like that. That's probably my favorite program of all times. And it's just easy to get. Go to the site, download it, install it, and let the good times roll.
All right, good stuff. Quick break coming up. More Tech Talk with Doug. Following the weather, we'll have a college football score or two. Minnesota survives. We'll have that. And then when we come back, I will talk Windows 7. Are you still running Windows 7? That's okay. But we'll get into that a little bit. If you have a question about your computer for Doug, send it to, and a text is a great way to go, 651-461-9226. That's a new number, 651-461-9226. Tech Talk with Doug continues in a moment here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Still running Windows 7? Well, you are not alone, and we're going to go to our text line again right out of the gate here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Doug Swindhart, good enough to join us, as always, here on Tech Talk on Saturday afternoons. Computer says it needs a Windows 7 update before it can update. I'm not sure that makes a whole lot of sense. So what do I do if it says I need an update?
Oh, I think at this point you're going to want to shut all those updates off.
All right.
It's that's really a moot point. And you can still run 7. You just got to be cautious. I would say for absolute certain, you're going to need some kind of security package with that. Malwarebytes, ESET, there's a number of them that would do a good job for that. And you just don't want to go to Microsoft. You just don't want to do that. And one of the big things, if you're going to continue to run older operating system, and this would apply for XP as well, if you're going to have it on the internet, one must absolutely have multiple profiles. If you're an administrator, you give the world a little bit more control when that profile is running than you do if you're a standard user. So when you're on the internet, you should be logged in as a standard user, even if you're the same person. And if you're installing software or reconfiguring your system, then you log out, log into back into the system as an administrator, and you're good to go. Like I say, it's got to be a little bit cautious, but Windows 7 was a mature operating system. I like 7. I still like 7. And a lot of people that have these computers that people are like, well, just update and get 10 for free. But they may have a computer that came with a piece of hardware for their business, possibly a sewing machine. There's just a plethora of vertical markets out there that these machines were sold with whatever supporting device that computer was taken care of. And you just can't do that. Some of them have specific IRQs and ports set up to go along with these machines. So it isn't just a question of being cheap. Sometimes it's to squeeze more out of that computer than you can, and that's just good business. But yeah, I like 7. I think 7's great. But like I say, have an extra commercial antivirus. Avira would be a good one with that. That watches 7 like a hawk. There's a whole bunch of good ones out there, but I like 7. Always have, and I think many people feel that way. I'm a little upset when we lost XP too, but that made sense. XP was a 32-bit program. Windows 7 is a 64, and we're still at 64-bit. So I'm not so certain I agree with all of the changes at Microsoft, but you know, they don't listen to what I say, Steve. I've tried.
Yeah, the funny thing is that Windows XP, where I work during the week, we still have a machine that uses XP. Now it's not on the internet. We put files into it. It's a high speed inkjet printer, and that's one of the things you alluded to. It runs on XP. It's a standalone machine. It's not on the internet. It's not on the network. When we bring files to that machine into that computer, and it's on one of those little thumb drives or USB drives.
Absolutely. And that'll work fine.
Yeah.
As long as everybody stays in 32-bit, you start putting 64-bit to it. But a lot of software today, even on 64-bit computers, is still running 32-bit. Microsoft Windows just takes both of those and melds them completely invisible. Wonderful system.
Yeah.
XP was a great system. Did that printer come with that computer that they were sold and bought together?
Yeah, and because the heads run on XP, and that gets into why the machine still works great, still does good work. We just have it separated from the network and certainly not on the internet. And I would say it's not recommended to have an XP machine on the internet. As you talk, you may need some advanced help in dealing with that, but good stuff for sure. Back to Provisor. I'm going to spell it out for folks real quick. We had a number of texts. Provisor came up. Provazer. Once again, for those who each and every week say, can you slow down? I'm going to do it one more time, and then that's it for the program today. Provisor, Provazer. There you go. We did our public service announcement here on the program. This is one that we haven't seen for a while. Our IPTV services legal to stream. I'm not particularly familiar with that. Help us out.
Yes. There's a lot of controversy across the country going on with that right now. Many of the larger television corporations moved into what was known as Kill Kodi, K-O-D-I, which was one of the interfaces that you could have on a computer and download complete movies. And even though it has a reputation that people are stealing entertainment, but I don't see that to be the case. I think 90% of the people just want to be able to get TV and they're willing to pay. It's not a perfect science, but there's all kinds of legal internet protocol TV appliances out there. When you start this cutting the cable thing, everybody wants to tell you that it's simple. You'll have it done in a couple hours. It's not. It can get really involved, especially if you want to create your own media center where it's operating like a DVR. And that's the ultimate. Because once you get that, you're golden. But we're still going through some hoops with that. And they have some serious issues if you're going to run a VPN. But you have to be in a mindset that just because you can have a VPN and go to another country and then come back to the U.S. to Netflix, for example, Netflix just can't allow that. It's against the law. So if you stay in touch, there's several of them. I bought one for, I think it was like $80 for 3 years. It does all the sports things that are legal to broadcast, all the local channels. You can actually do a cord-cutting thing today with Comcast, but when you do that, you're going to need more bandwidth. When I did this, I took my bandwidth at Comcast to a full gig. I rarely see more than 500, but we got to be concerned with them as well. If they have 70% of their people trying to get by cheap, 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 well, I don't know. I would miss Comcast if they were gone, Comcast Xfinity. I think they do a good job. Like corporations, I feel that they overcharge. I feel that anytime I write a check. But it's a little more complex than what you think. But once you get started at it, it really comes pretty fast.
Yeah.
Amazon Prime TV pops in. And the only two pay services I have is Netflix and Amazon Prime right now. And I got all kinds of stuff. I get all the local channels through, and Comcast allows that. They're not going to block anything. Sometimes I think that the TV itself gets a little confused because I can't really clean out my Samsung TV like I do a computer. I'm hoping that will change it over the years. But your internet usage is going to go up. And you're seeing all internet service providers today starting to place caps on their plans. So if you go past that cap, you'll either get some kind of a fine or they'll – Xfinity does a good job there too. They alert you like 7 days beforehand, and then they'll tell you that you can pay by the gig or whatever you're going to do. This is going to be a complex issue. I think it's way overdue. I like what's going on. I just hope that everybody can stay level-headed and use a little common sense with, well, I'm going to put a $20 indoor antenna and never have to pay another nickel. Not quite that simple.
Yeah, here's the thing about that. For the people who don't want to pay cable or pay for satellite TV, direct TV, there's Dish. And then, of course, there's your local cable provider, whoever that is in the community you live in.
Exactly.
It depends on where you live in the Twin Cities area. Now, I live in the northern suburbs. I've got a great line of sight to the three television towers in Shoreview. And I think anybody who's driven on 694 knows where the TV Tower Farm is. That's where all the local television stations transmit from. Channel 2, Channel 4, 5, 9, 11, even the old UHFs, 23. They're all switching over to digital television. And when I cut the cable, the first thing I did, and that was get rid of the Dish. It wasn't cut the cable. I was a DirecTV subscriber. When I got rid of that, the first thing I did is replace the Dish on the roof with a small antenna, probably the size of, a dinner plate, little bit bigger than a dinner plate. Mm-hmm. And it's a little square screen. And what I was able to do is bring in on that same cable all these over-the-air channels. And they're crystal clear. The reception is phenomenal. And I brought that into the house and distribute that through the house, just like the old days. Just like the old days. Over-the-air free TV via antenna, but it depends on where you live. If you live 100 miles from the cities, it's going to be tough. But if you live right here in town, particularly in the northern suburbs, if you live in an apartment building, it might be tricky. So there are options, but where I started in cutting the cord was get an antenna and pull in over-the-air all the free stuff I could get. And then we have the Netflix and Amazon Prime like you have. And then I have a subscription to YouTube TV as well. But you're absolutely right. This gobbles up bandwidth. You need very good internet for that to be a pleasant experience.
And so, you know something else, Steve? The area that we live in a real interesting area when it comes to television reception. Is that no matter where you are in the suburbs, you are almost guaranteed to be higher than where the telephone stations are, and these beams seem to travel up better than they travel down. And I'm still planning on getting a small antenna. With that small and the antennas, oh my goodness, you can get such dynamite into, and they don't have to be big. Like you say, 12 inches by 12 inches, side of your house, one cable coming in, you can do the splitter thing and do the whole thing, probably less than $150.
Yeah.
And once it's there, that's not going to use any bandwidth. That's huge. And yep. I really like the tech. One thing I would warn people, don't get wrapped up with this marketing stuff, high-def antenna. There's no such thing. We got VHF and UHF. And how they pull in the signal has nothing to do with the resolution on the screen that's being displayed. And that being said, nearly every channel that's broadcasting that you could pick up with an antenna today is broadcasting high-def. It's crystal clear. I mean, it looks wonderful.
Yeah. That is a big topic on TV, and it can get very confusing in a hurry. And I know there are companies in town that are helping folks with this that will install that over-the-ear antenna and help you kind of map this out. Because, yeah, you're absolutely right. There's a lot of different ways to attack this. There are streaming services, but as Doug pointed out, in my experience, bandwidth, if you don't have very good internet, you're going to fight it. You're going to hate it. You're not going to enjoy the experience. So you're going to pay one way or another.
Absolutely.
And bandwidth is a big part of it. We've got to take a break right now. We're going to come back with more tech talk. We're going to buzz through our text line. We've got a lot of stuff coming up on the text line. And by the way, that number again, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. It is Tech Talk on a Saturday here at News Talk, 830 WCCO. Yeah, cord cutting. We've definitely hit a nerve, a lot of activity on that, a lot of people wondering how. And, Doug, I think this is an important point. Whenever it comes to computers, any sort of technology, even when it comes to streaming on a monitor so you can watch video, television programs, sports, whatever, it all gets back to one thing, and you've said this for years, and it's so true. What is your time worth?
That
is, if you're getting the cheapest internet at home to save a few bucks, is it really worth it, or is it better to get the fastest available internet because it gets back into what is your time worth? And if you're struggling and you've tried to cut the cord and you have an antenna and you have apps on your TV and you're trying to stream and keep it all straight, that's aggravating, and that gets back into life is too short. At some point in time, if you're going to all this trouble and you're saving $10 or $15 a month, you got to wonder, is it really worth all that trouble? And maybe going back to satellite TV or cable TV, no matter who your provider is, no matter where you live, might be the way to go. If it's that much trouble, it isn't worth it.
I think we're going to see more of that heading back. Yeah, what a lot of people don't even realize, even in the slightest, is over the years, in order to have the amount of data being carried over the internet, video and music has gone through generations in 5-10 years at a crack, generations of changes and compression. So as this entertainment is coming into your house, especially legal, it has to have on the inside of your house what's called a transcoder. It's got to unpack that so you can preserve the picture quality from a highly compressed state. And not all stations use the same transcoding techniques. And the computer, if you're going to put this on a computer, you got to have a pretty beefy machine. And the one I built, I tried to stay cheap, but I'm at $800 for my computer. And that's just the PC. Now, it's nice, it looks down there, and you can do less expensive ones. But if you're going to be able to have two or three TVs watching, and they transcode as they're being viewed, and they transcode as they're coming in. So my particular computer is set up so I can do 32 streams of transcoding simultaneously. There's three of us in the house. So it gets a little bit more involved than people think.
Yeah.
And I agree. I don't want to spend 20 hours a week doing the maintenance of all this stuff. I had visions of it just all going together. And, I've been at it now for about a year and a half. It's not just all going together. There's a lot of complexity into this. Once you get it set up, and say you have a service like Plex. Plex is one of those user interfaces, so to speak, probably one of the most popular ones. And you buy a lifetime membership, I believe, for $120. So you're done paying there. But they also have an awful lot of commercials on their public broadcast. So you're really not getting away from it too much. It's almost identical. And Xfinity today, if you buy a strong enough internet package and you're upfront with them, and they've got a package, I think it's called their Flex package, you actually get a TV box that takes care of all that transcoding. I am dangerously close to going down and getting one. I've had it with my end of the challenge. I just don't have the time. Feels like I'm tripping over dollars chasing pennies.
Yeah.
And entertainment should be entertainment, not work, work, work.
One follow-up to that. If I change out an antenna or get an upgraded antenna, should I re-scan my smart TV? Yes. And the reason is because a good reason to re-scan is that all the local channels are adding sub-channels, so it's good to re-scan every now and then. You never know what's going to pop up. And I know Care 11 is making the move to digital broadcast. Not going to bore you with all the details, but at some point they'll announce it, and you'll need to rescan to pick that up. So, good stuff. Quick hour for sure. Doug, the first thing we need to do is get your phone number and email and tell folks that we'll be back next Saturday as well at 2 o'clock. Once again, your phone number, email, how do people reach you?
Oh, thank you, Steve. 651-552-9543. And, of course, admin at WCCOtech.com, admin at WCCOTECH.com. 651-552-9543. And thank you, Steve. And you should get outside this weekend a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I will for sure. I've got yard work to do. I got to mow. The leaves are falling. I can't believe that already, but here they are. Yeah, Doug, always great. Thanks.
Yeah, be well.
All right, there he is, Doug Swinhart. It is Tech Talk. Saturdays between 2 and 3 here at News Talk, E3O WCCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.